President Donald Trump is pushing Senate Republicans to take up health care again after three failed votes on the Affordable Care Act just last week. The president tweeted that unless Republicans are, quote, total quitters, end quote, they will try again to repeal and replace Obamacare. But Senate Republicans have already started talking about working on a Trump judicial nominee and other issues this week. Paul Nolet joins us now. He's an assistant professor of political science at Marquette University. Paul, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, great to be here.
What do you make of the president's tweets about Senate Republicans trying yet again on health care?
Well, it's quite interesting because I think the last few weeks and even months has really shown that Republicans can't come to a compromise even within their own party about how to proceed on health care. And so the idea that they'll still kind of, you know, spend weeks and months on health care and really getting nowhere seems pretty unlikely to me. So it is pretty surprising, I think, that you have the president coming in saying, hey, don't give up, because as long as they're kind of still trying to get health care done, they can't do anything else like tax reform.
So given that, why do you think President Trump is pushing so hard on continuing to try to get a repeal and replace measure passed in the Senate?
I think the big thing is that he really wants to have a big policy win, which hasn't happened yet so far in his presidency. And this seemed like maybe the best place to go right from the beginning, because after all, Republicans for several years have been saying, hey, we think Obamacare is a disaster. We need to repeal it, replace it with something that'll work better. And so I think from President Trump's perspective, that was a issue that really he expected a win on, and he didn't get it. So I think he's trying to use, in this case, the power of Twitter to try to persuade Congress to move forward on that issue.
Would you say it's typical for a president to weigh in so heavily on the legislative branch's agenda and priorities, at least out in public versus maybe in closed-door meetings?
It's not unusual that a president would get involved in the legislative process. That happens quite a bit. But like you kind of implied with that question, too, a lot of times it's done behind closed doors in negotiations with individual senators, individual representatives. But in this case, you have the unusual situation of the president not really getting all that much involved in the health care policy throughout the entire process, but instead using Twitter to, in some ways, almost berate Congress to continue with health care and to try to get something done. And as we've seen, that's had pretty limited success to this point. I mean, one thing that's, I think, true of most senators is that they don't really like being told what to do a lot of times. And so in this case, it really hasn't been able to move the ball forward, at least purely that public pressure on Congress coming from president in his Twitter account.
So some analysts are lining it up as three potential paths of action that the president has tweeted out about health care. And let's go into those in some detail. The first is that he is threatening to cut off payments that insurers are owed for lowering deductibles under Obamacare. What actually are those payments going to the insurers for?
So this one is really the big one, and it's something that's known as a cost-sharing reduction. And the way that this works is that the Affordable Care Act set up a bunch of requirements for insurance companies to provide insurance to lower-income individuals. But in order to try to make that at least profitable for the insurance companies to offer this sort of insurance, the government was going to pay a number of these subsidies to the insurance companies to make up for those lower amounts that for the deductibles and premiums for lower income individuals. And so, long story short, if those were cut off, then that insurance going to lower income individuals would be extremely unprofitable for insurance companies, and they'd have to make up the difference somewhere, and it would probably be raising premiums all across the board.
So were those payments to be cut off from the insurers, it's not that the insurance companies would likely just, you know, swallow that loss. It would be passed on to other consumers.
Right, because after all, the Affordable Care Act still has these requirements that lower-income individuals have access to health care. And so you'd have insurance companies still offering these plans but not getting the money to help out make up for the losses that they're getting in those programs. So inevitably, they're going to have to try to make that up somewhere.
And the second item that the president has tweeted about something of a threat to Congress if they don't act is cutting off the subsidies for their own health care. Does he have the power to do that?
He does, actually. And the reason for this is kind of an obscure thing. but one thing that the Affordable Care Act did, among many other things, was that it shifted members of Congress and their staff to Obamacare from the federal health care program that most employees are in. Now, under the old program, the staff members and the members of Congress essentially got these subsidies to help drive down the premiums, and it did so in a pretty substantial amount. But one thing that the Affordable Care Act didn't do, at least not explicitly in the language, is say that those would continue, those subsidies would continue when they shifted from the federal employee system that everyone else is on in the government to Obamacare. And so back in 2013, the Obama administration said, oh, yeah, we think that that system should continue and these subsidies to members of Congress and staff should continue. But that's exactly what Trump is targeting right now. And because the legislative language is very ambiguous on that point, there's a strong argument to be made that he does have the power to cut that off.
Well, and I want to point out something that you just said, that it's not just members of Congress, but also their staff. And while it could be argued that members of Congress are quite well paid, there are a lot of staffers working for them that are probably making significantly less and would then have to pay pretty high health care premiums to cover themselves and their families.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, members of Congress make in the six figures, so not necessarily the most sympathetic group, not to mention that Congress's approval rating is so low. But that's exactly right. Actually, this would affect far greater than just the members of Congress themselves. It would affect the hundreds and really thousands of staff members that work in Congress, and so who aren't making six figures. So it would have a broader impact than I think the Trump administration, President Trump himself, when he announced this, I think he was trying to say, hey, look, I'm going to go right to your pocketbook, senators and representatives, through this cutting off these subsidies. But in reality, it's going to affect a lot larger group of people as well.
And finally, the third action that the president has tweeted as a possibility is blocking all legislation until lawmakers pass health care. That seems like a pretty drastic measure to be threatening.
Well, and it's also the one, unlike the first two, where the administration has a lot more power to do that sort of thing. This is one area that, due to separation of powers, I mean, the president can't demand that the House or Senate take up or not take up a particular bill. And so if the Senate decides, you know what, we're done with health care, and this is what Senator Mitch McConnell has said, if we're done with health care and we want to move on to tax reform, then that's what the Senate's going to do. And there's nothing that the president can do directly to say, no, you can't do that. So this one, I think, was more of kind of a public threat to Congress to continue with health care, but not one that's going to have a whole lot of bite behind it.
I guess perhaps he could choose not to sign something that ended up on his desk, but that's not really stopping them from doing it.
Right, and I think in that case, I would bet Congress would, you know, call him out on his bluff if it is indeed a bluff, because I think if there was a comprehensive tax reform bill that made it to his desk that President Trump liked and the Republican Party likes, I find it very unlikely that he would veto it simply because they turned away from health care to turn to tax reform. So I think from Congress's point of view, they're saying, look, we just want to get a big piece done, one big piece of our agenda done. It's clear that health care is not going to be that piece, so let's move on, regardless of what President Trump is saying on Twitter.
We're talking now with Paul Nolet from Marquette University about President Trump's public pressure on Senate Republicans to try again to repeal and replace Obamacare. And we want to hear from you on this at 800-642-1234. Do you think Senate Republicans should try again with health care? Or do you think they should take up other issues like tax reform or confirming appointments? What do you think the Republican Party should do about health care now? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation and get to your calls in just a minute here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. We're picking up our discussion now with Paul Nolet from the Political Science Department at Marquette University about what Senate Republicans should tackle next. And we're taking your calls, too, at 800-642-1234. What do you think about the president's tweets about Senate Republicans trying again with health care? Is that your top priority? What issues would you like to see the Senate tackle next? Call in and share your thoughts at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. And let's go to the phones, and Jim in Rice Lake is up. Hi, Jim.
Hi. I'm not going to criticize the president's agenda. I'm a Democrat. All I'm simply saying is he has no substantial relationship with the Republican Party. In the 18 months he ran as president, he was essentially hostile to them, if not downright rude, without repeating the language he used, because I'm on a civilized program here. But, I mean, he should understand that they may have certain that he should coexist with them in terms of certain priorities, because he's had little or no legislative accomplishments in his time so far in office. And he has a desire, if he wants to win, as he's always saying, to achieve some legislative accomplishments. So it would be wise for him to put the tweet down and maybe have some meetings with Republican Party leadership, and I'll be interested in your guest comments off the air.
Thanks so much for that call, Jim. And Paul, he ran as an outsider, and now he's something of an outsider on these issues.
Well, and I think Jim is right there, too, that he had a lot of harsh language for Speaker Paul Ryan and other Republican leaders throughout the entire campaign, and really a lot of that's continued as he has been president. And as we have been talking about with the president's recent tweets about threatening taking away some money that goes towards congressional health care, those sorts of threats, especially given the fact that Trump had a rocky relationship with the Republican Party to begin with, I mean, I don't think that those are really helping. I mean, I don't see those really moving the ball forward on whether it's health care or tax reform or a number of other issues. I think in terms of how President Trump has approached tax reform yet, and there's still a lot of details that need to be ironed out, but it seems like they're largely on the same page, Republican leadership and the president. So I think, as Jim suggested there, maybe get off of Twitter and start working on the details with Congress on tax reform and other issues would probably be more productive. But of course, so far, we haven't seen any indication that that's going to happen.
And has there been a direct response to those tweets from President Trump from the top Senate Republicans?
Well, I think the main response has been mostly silent for the most part. And Mitch McConnell, among others, has pretty explicitly said, look, we tried on health care. We're moving on. It didn't work out. We're moving on to tax reform. So I think that's been generally the response here, saying, look, I mean, the president can say we need to work on health care and threaten us to work on this issue, but we're going to go ahead and work on the issues that we think we can actually get an accomplishment done on. And so I think that's been really the main response so far.
Let's take another call. Joan from Eau Claire is up. Hi, Joan.
Hi, good afternoon. My comment is that Donald Trump wants to negate everything that Barack Obama has done, and Barack had the very huge push for the Affordable Care Act. What I'm not seeing out of any of these Republicans, other than three of these senators, is any compassion. There's no level of compassion whatsoever. What I do see out of them is I feel a lot of hatred, and I'm not sure why that is. I would like to see some compassion, because that was the whole point of the Affordable Care Act to begin with. I'm not sure that we are going to see it, which is very regrettable. But that is what I would like to see. That's my comment, and thank you for allowing me to speak.
Thanks for that call, Joan. And Paul, we hear a lot from the Republicans that they are trying to repeal and replace Obamacare because it is oppressive for people. Premiums are going up. People are not getting the coverage they need. Joan is saying that the Affordable Care Act brought good things to people.
Yeah, and I think from the Republicans' perspective, they're saying, look, we think that the Affordable Care Act is both not working as it should or as how any sort of health care program should work. And we also have some concerns about government kind of mandating that you buy insurance and that sort of thing. But, of course, the problem that they ran into, as I think Joan identified here, is that a lot of people did see the Republican plan that actually was on the table over the last few weeks as being hurtful to a lot of people. And so when those numbers came out from the Congressional Budget Office and other sources as well, saying if this passed and was signed into law, then 20-plus million people would lose their health insurance, that really had a big effect on much of the American public. And it was one of the reasons why, as unpopular as Obamacare has been over time, and even now it's, you know, in the mid-40s or so in terms of approval, the Republicans' health care plan was way lower, talking about 20% approval ratings and that sort of thing for that legislation to pass. And so for a lot of Republicans, it just became a hot potato that really they couldn't deal with.
Paul, we'll have to leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us today.
All right. Thank you.
Paul Nolet is assistant professor of political science at Marquette University. He joined us to talk about what might be up next for Senate Republicans.